If now we know that God exists, and that he is the first mover and cause, and is not himself moved or caused, that he is the cause of all that is, there are certain other things we can deduce about him. Everything material has potential for change, but since God is not movable or changeable, because he does not have potency, but is what actualizes everything else, he is not material. In other words, God is spiritual. And being the cause of all that exists, which includes not only matter and space, but also time, because time only exists where there is motion, and motion only exists where there is matter, we must conclude that he transcends not only matter and space, but also time. In other words, he is eternal. God transcends the universe of space and time. This is a very important truth to digest, because all too often, atheists and skeptics create a silly straw man of God where he is painted as nothing more than a very powerful being within the universe, like Zeus or the other pagan gods were imagined to be. But we see here that he must be transcendent, not within creation, but outside of space and time. This is not simply a trick to avoid providing evidence of God. It follows necessarily from the kind of thing that God must be, if we can put it like that. He transcends space and time because of his being first cause and mover. So it is silly for pop scientist atheists to make the retort, as they often do, that our telescopes and satellites don't pick up any images or evidence of God, as if he were some floating being within his creation. And because he gives actuality and motion and existence to everything else, he is the most actual, and we must conclude that he is immensely powerful. In fact, we know that God is infinitely powerful, because there is no limiting principle on his power. He's not in competition with other gods, or bound by the limitations of creation. He is sovereign over all. He is omnipotent. Our power is limited by our physical strength and by our just being corruptible physical things. God's power is not limited by this or any other thing that we could imagine. Now, to sidetrack just for a moment on this to address a common issue, when we say God is all-powerful, you often hear the retort, an objection believed to be very clever by atheists, well, if God is all-powerful, can he create a rock that is too heavy for him to lift? Now, this sounds hard to answer, but it's not. God is not limited, but he sticks to doing things that are not nonsense. Asking if God can create a rock that is too big for him to lift is saying, can God be all-powerful and not all-powerful at the same time? Or, to use the classic example, can God create a married bachelor? It's not as if God can't accomplish some feat of power. It's that the thing asked of God is nonsense, gibberish, logically incoherent. It's like saying, can God blah-de-blah-blah? These supposed proofs demanded of God's omnipotence violate the most basic law of logic, that of non-contradiction. Furthermore, since every single created thing is contingent, and that means it's possible for it not to exist, it means that the whole collection of created things, that is, the universe, doesn't exist by necessity. It could not exist. This gives us an indication of something else about God. He willed us to exist. We already know that as divine governor of the universe, God has reason, or rather is reason itself, but we also know that he has a will. In other words, having reason and will, God is personal. Now again, we need his self-revelation to tell us many other things about him, and the fact that God is a trinity of persons, and there are several other things that St. Thomas concludes about God's attributes that we didn't cover here, such as his absolute simplicity, meaning he is not composed in any way, his goodness, and his omnipresence. But we have at least come to know, just using our reason, that he is spiritual, eternal, infinitely powerful, and personal.